Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Paul.
Yeah.
Obviously,
Coach. No. Yeah, like, that would be a little weird.
I like coffee, Coach, so.
Yeah, if for those wondering, Paul has turned in, and our bits on the beat, Paul Jones has turned into basically Sling Blade.
He's not Sling Blade, though. He just has that deep country accent there going.
No, I'm saying the bit has turned into Sling
Blade. Oh, yeah, yeah,
He, like, his voice has turned into, I like mustard on my biscuit.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like how my Brandon Walker has turned into Hank Hill. You know, it's like.
Yes.
It's like, you know, damn it, Robbie. It's the same as damn it, Bobby. It's just the same wherever you go. So
Brandon looks like he had a lot of fun fishing yesterday.
He did. He did. He had a tough week last week. So good for him to get out there on the lake and enjoy himself.
What happened?
He was out all last week and I tried texting him a couple times and he never answered. So he said that he would talk about it on his show today. He came back today. Apparently, one of his kids was at the children's hospital all week.
Oh, goodness.
They thought they had some bad news, but it turns out they're going to be okay. So that's very good news to hear. And I texted him. I was like, hey, man, you know, love you. If you need anything, just let us know. And, you know, take, you know, whatever I can do for you, I'll do it. So,
and he told you to shut up.
He hasn't sent anything back, which is, you know, about par for the course from him. I've seen his phone one time. He'll have like 1,500 unanswered texts. I'm just like, how do you live?
Yeah, I can't deal with that.
I can't deal with it. Just the thought of it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Anyway, wherever.
Well, thoughts to Brandon and his family.
Yes, sir. And like I said, if B-Dubs, if he needs anything from us, he knows we're just a phone call away. Wherever you are in our great state, speaking of just a phone call away, just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. You can enjoy coffee. That's crawfish. Ooh. Coffee. Mm-hmm. Just put the you boil the water, put the boil in, you put a little coffee in.
Apparently they have a new bourbon coffee.
Yeah, that's what you do. I've seen that. What you do is you stick a cup of coffee, you put a splash of bourbon in it. Just call it a day.
I don't think that's it, but it might not be a bad idea for those that are struggling through their work day.
One of my favorite J.R. Ewing quotes, guys. Like, what you like in your coffee? Bourbon. Just straight up. All right.
Hey, everybody's got to have something to get them going.
Yeah, man, I'm not. I don't judge anybody, except for Richard. College. Pit printing. Pit printing and signs. I keep coming up. You guys need to get you one of these here folders that I have, which I don't quite know why I need it because I'm not going to be needing any printing. But like, they show off a lot of the cool stuff that they do. Like some of these graphics they can put in your restaurant. Some of the signage they can put outside of your restaurant. The pull-up banner behind me here in the Super Talk series, not that you can see it because this is an audio medium, but I got this big Super Talk Mississippi pull-up banner right here. They can do those kind of things for you. Those are great for trade shows. They're great for when you have to make presentations and things like that. The list is pretty much endless. If you are a business owner, you need to call Pip Printing and Signs and find out what they can put together for you. And if you're a Mississippi State fan, it's even better. Tell them you heard about us on Thunder and Lightning. And you're going to be sending money to the Bulldog Initiative, 10% of your sale straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. So you already spend money on printing. By working with Pip Printing and Signs, you become a Bulldog Initiative business without spending an extra dime of your own money. Give Cam Baker a call today at 601-499-5216. Now, I finally did it. I finally lost it. 5216. Gosh, dog it. That makes me mad. I was on a good streak there of keeping these numbers
This
straight.
is a disaster.
Just brutal. Anyway, when you need printing, call Pip Pip today. Just good for the rest of the College Corner. You know, they got stuff. They got shirts.
Hey, you better pick it up, son. You know, you better pick it up right now.
They have some hats. The hats are cool. They had a couple of locations in Jackson, you know, originally by Fleet Feet, and they're flowed by the Half Shell. They got a website. You can go to collegecornerstore.com. And maybe I won't screw this up.
College Corner, you need to dock like $25, $30 off of today's show.
That's too much. That's too much. Like 30, you got to divide. You got to do a division. How many shows we do a month?
You got to make a statement.
You know, I'm just saying.
If you're not going to bring it every single day with 110%,
it's not physically possible to give more than 100%. I just want to let you know that. It's scientifically impossible.
Then why is there like a 4.2 GPA?
Because they're on a 5-point scale. So you can get up to 5.
Nobody does a 5-point scale. It's 4.0.
Like King Kong Bundy.
The 4.0 is perfect, but I always say, so I got a 4.3 GPA.
No, you don't.
How did that happen? Because they gave 110%.
No, they're lying is what it is. CollegeCornerStore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, is the place to grab the best meal in town for lunch, for dinner, or for Sunday brunch. Any weekend you're going to be in Starkville, Friday, Saturday night, you want to grab a great meal. If you want to have a real special occasion, you don't need a special occasion, because dinner at Restaurant Tyler is a special occasion. Best steaks in town, great pastas, vegetarian options, and they have maybe my favorite dessert in all of Starkville, the famous stuffed pancake. It's just delicious. It's a great way to end what will be a great meal. If you want to enjoy a great time and enjoy a fantastic dinner like you can't get anywhere else in Starkville, you need to go to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank has 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and let them show you not only where they're located, but what they're going to be able to do for your money. You did the hard work of getting your money to the bank. Let Priority One Bank take it from there and show you how to invest your money, show you how to set up savings accounts and checking accounts for your family, how to make your money work for you. Again, the website, PriorityOneBank.com. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We got a lot to talk about today. We'll talk a little baseball recruiting a little later in the show. We have an SEC preview today, the Kentucky Wildcats, which should be a very interesting team this year. And, of course, you know, a team that State has always played throughout the SEC schedule. No longer. They are not on the schedule for this upcoming season. But I thought we'd start with football today, and not with recruiting, but with some players that are already here in Starkville, specifically the main man, Blake Shapen, who, you know, again, I've seen his highlights, but we still haven't had an opportunity to talk to him yet, which I'm a little disappointed in. I won't lie to you about that. And I want to talk to him in terms of, you know, when I had Jeff Lebby on this podcast a few weeks back, and I asked him about, you know, the quarterbacks he's worked with in the past, and the, you know, how to shape and compare to them, and he talked about Corral, and he said that he felt like they had a lot in common. From a talent standpoint and from a mentality standpoint. And I think one thing, you know, Mississippi State fans kind of get lost in Matt Corral is that guy played really hard. You know, he was a guy who had no problem sticking his nose into the pile to gain an extra yard. He took hits. He played hard, I thought. You know, you could almost say he had that dog in him, except he was a rebel. You know, there's the only difference.
He played hard, like almost to a fault there at the end. Like,
yeah,
just...
I mean, yeah. And Dart has some of that too. I mean, Dart,
yeah,
those kind of the same things. So I've got, you know, Mackenzie Milton was already kind of established when Lebby took over at Central Florida. But he built up Dylan Gabriel. Then he goes to Ole Miss and builds up Corral. And then he reunites with Gabriel at Oklahoma, and the numbers are just huge. Dylan Gabriel, I don't think people realize that he might already be the leading passer in college football history had he not gotten hurt in 2021. I think he's currently in the top 10. He's got nearly 15,000 yards passing. His touchdown interception ratio is 125-26. So it's basically 5-1.
That's pretty strong.
Not as good a rusher as Corral was, but last year did rush for 373 yards, 4 yards a carry, and 12 touchdowns. So that's pretty impressive there. So, I mean, he was responsible last year, Robbie, for 42 of Oklahoma's touchdowns, either by passing or by running, and then only had the 6 turnovers. I mean, that's something you're really going to accept from your starting quarterback. His 2 years under Lebby at Central Florida, he throws for 7,200 yards, 61 touchdowns to 11 picks. Then in Oklahoma, in 2 years there, he throws for 6,700 yards, 55 touchdowns to 12 picks. So, again, no situation is the same, and things could go differently. But that's kind of where you expect to see the stat line for a quarterback who gets the full complement of starts in Jeff Lebby's offense. Corral's 2 years, and I think it's important, and I've run into some brushback on the live show the other night talking about this. People talking about, well, Matt Corral was, you know, some Ole Miss fans were, Matt Corral was so much more talented than Blake Shapen. And I'm just, my point is, you didn't know that in 2020. You did not know that. Coming into his, you know, his junior year at Ole Miss at that point, Corral's only thrown 210 career passes. Now, I'll give him credit. Did I look at that right? No, I did not. He's thrown exactly 200 passes. Now, he's completing about 65% of them at that point. He's thrown 8 touchdowns to 4 picks. Not bad. And I still go back to, you know, Rich Rod's decisions in 2019 to give the offense over to Plumlee. And I know Plumlee was very successful with what he was able to do in the running game, but I feel like that kind of is a misnomer, right? Like, Corral could have done some of the same things running the ball, but he would have given Ole Miss an actual passing game to go with it that Plumlee just did not give. His junior year, when Lebby and Kiffin take over, throws 326 passes in 10 games. He completes 71%. 3,300, almost 3,400 yards, 29 touchdowns, 14 picks. And as we detailed many times on the show, 11 of his 14 picks are in 2 games. He threw 6 against Arkansas and 5 against LSU. One of the questions I'm going to ask Jeff Lebby at Media Days this year is, how do you coach that? Like, what do you tell a quarterback coming off the field after his 4th pick? I'm interested to know the answer to that. So,
well, it probably just depends on the circumstances.
Yeah.
Of the game.
Reflection is one thing, but if you're throwing bad, I mean, as I said, I'll ask him. I'll get his idea.
Yeah, they're like, they're getting tipped or something and picked off. They're just bad luck. Yeah.
As a rusher, I mean, it's a real revelation, right? At this point in his career, when Lebby shows up, Browse only run the ball for 210 yards in his career. You knew he had some mobility. You didn't know that he'd become the plus runner that he did. And in his last 2 years at Ole Miss, he rushes for almost 1,200 yards. He rushes for 11 touchdowns. His last year and Gabriel's last year are very similar. The only difference is that Ole Miss ran the ball a good bit more. So Corral only throws for 20 touchdowns his senior year, whereas Gabriel threw for 30 last year. But as a team, let me see if I can get the numbers up here. Yeah, no, that's not what we want at all, Brian. Ole Miss as a team, Corral rushes for 11 touchdowns. Snoop Connor scores another 13 on the ground. Jerion Ealy and Henry Parrish combined for 8 touchdowns. They just got more on the ground than Oklahoma did last year. So we're trying to set like a baseline number for Shapen for what you can expect for him if he plays a full 12 games plus hopefully a bowl game for Mississippi State. And you see that not only are the numbers going to be big, but when you look at the completion percentages, you know, Corral, 2 years under Lebby, completes 71 and 68% of his passes. Gabriel, taken over as a freshman, is at 60%, 60%, and then the last 2 years, 62%, 69%.
Oh, nice.
So it's not just about getting the deep ball down the field and getting these big plays. This offense allows the quarterback to be super efficient with the ball. So if I tell you that, Robbie, and I tell you that my baseline expectation for Chapin, if he's able to stay healthy, is to be around 3,200 yards, to be around 25 touchdowns to 7 to 8 interceptions, and to be around 65 to 70% completion percentage, I guess to get to the final question here, or to get to the question, is that too high a bar to set?
No, I mean, if you look at the past, if you look at what the quarterbacks have done under Jeff Lebby, it's kind of like what we've talked about when Jeff Lebby was hired. The track record says that no matter what he's taken over has been successful. They've been productive. And there might be, you know, Corral's numbers were, as far as, you know, maybe the interceptions were a little high, I would say, that first year. But nobody really talked about it. And most of those interceptions, it felt like, came in that game against LSU or Arkansas.
He had two games, Arkansas, LSU, where he threw 11, 14 picks. Yeah.
So, honestly, that might be a little bit of a, you know, moving away from the average of what you usually see out of a Jeff Lebby quarterback. It's hard to really nail it down because, you know, Dillon Gabriel was a guy that Lebby recruited, but when he got him at Oklahoma, that's a completely different quarterback than the one that he recruited and the one that you know, kind of came up at UCF. Matt Corral is really the, you know, really interesting story because that was a guy that was second string at Ole Miss. It looked like he was probably going to transfer because
if they had hired another coach,
if there would have been anybody else,
yeah, Kiffin was able to keep him. If they had hired a more pro style or a coach that wanted to focus on the running game a little bit more. And not that Kiffin's offense and Lebby's offense isn't running dominant, but if they, you know what I mean by in terms of their reputation. Yeah, Corral was headed to Oregon. He was going to go play for Joe Moorhead.
Yeah.
Which would have been, that would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
I think it would have worked.
Yeah, he would have probably. Joe Moorhead, the offensive coordinator, is not the same as Joe Moorhead, the coach.
Right.
But, if they get what they got out of Matt Corral, and I mean, I'm not saying Blake Chapin is that kind of talent. I think Blake Chapin is more than capable of having a really good season for Mississippi State this year. If they get those kind of numbers from Blake Chapin, that's a pretty good season, I think, for Mississippi State. And I think State has more options at wide receiver than Ole Miss did in year one under Lebby and Lane Kiffin. Now, there's no Elijah Moore, I don't think, on this roster. So that's kind of a big thing. But, that, I mean, they basically threw like 50-60% of their passes, it felt like, to Elijah Moore. He had most of the production. If you can spread it around a little bit, you would think that would be even better for Mississippi State. So I'm really interested to see what happens here.
The Elijah Moore piece to it is kind of interesting, Robbie, when you look at post Elijah Moore. The next year, Dontario Drummond catches 76 passes for Ole Miss. Now, that's in 12 games, and Elijah Moore. I'm going to talk about this for a second because it really is astounding. Elijah Moore in
the 2020 year.
Yeah. In eight games, all against SEC teams, didn't play in the bowl game. He played eight SEC teams and he had 86 catches for 1,193 yards. So if you extrapolate that to if he had played all 10 games that they played, he catches basically 112 passes, probably for 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. That's just stupid numbers. And of course, you know, all against Power Five. If he had played the regular season and would have had games against an FCS team and maybe a Sun Belt team. And I forget who their non-conference was that year, but I don't think it was anybody that made you go, oh gosh, they're not going to beat them. I mean, it's impressive. But then the next year, as I said, Dontario Drummond, 76 catches. He's well over 1,000 yards. Where was he? I just had it. Brian, you are the worst link clicker in the world. 76 catches, 1,028 yards, 8 touchdowns. 2 years at Oklahoma, Marvin Mims is the leading receiver, 54 catches. But for 1,083 yards, he averaged 20 yards a catch for the Sooners. And then last year, Drake Stoops catches 84 passes for 962 yards. So kind of the same way that there, you can sort of set a baseline for your quarterback, you can kind of set a baseline that one receiver is going to have a monster year. Now, we don't know who that's going to be. It could be Akari, Coleman, Whittemore. It could be a guy, Mario Craver. I don't know. But I don't know who that receiver is, but there will be a Mississippi State receiver, again, assuming history holds, that is going to get first-team All-SEC consideration that probably won't get a first-team All-SEC vote at SEC Media Days.
Yeah, and that's what I'm really interested to see, the how they kind of get the ball around to different receivers. Mike Leach, his offense was all about, you know, you're going to have 10 guys that you're spreading the wealth to. It looks like what Lane Kiffin and Lebby have done is you have that one horse that you're riding, but you also have several other guys that can make big plays too. But there's going to be one guy that's going to be, it seems, head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to be Kelly Akari, I would think, for Mississippi State. And, you know, he can take the top off the defense too, and he can do some big things for you. But I think Kevin Coleman is going to have a tremendous year too. I really think that there's going to be several receivers doing big things for Mississippi State. I think they're going to be able to spread the wealth a little more, because when Lane Kiffin inherited that roster, the transfer portal wasn't what it was.
Right.
And they had some pieces there for Matt Luke, but the depth was not what it was. And we've seen in the years past with Lane Kiffin, they've gotten a lot more guys involved in that offense than just one or two receivers. So I do think that it's not going to mirror that exactly because of the transfer portal, what Mississippi State's brought in as far as wide receivers are concerned. And if the spring game is any indication, we're going to see a lot of guys. You also can't account for the fact that, you know, Matt Corral probably was playing favorites with Elijah Moore a little bit because that was his go-to guy. So the quarterback makes a lot of those decisions too.
So just looking at your point here, 2020, Moore has 86 catches. The next leading receiver for Ole Miss are Kenny Yeboah and Jonathan Mingo, 27 catches apiece. So big, big gap from that in that area. The next year, Drummond has 76 catches. The next leading receiver is Jerrion Ealy, 32 catches. Again, big, big gap. From a receiver standpoint, the next closest receiver was Braylon Sanders with 24 catches. So big difference there. It's a little more spread out when they're at Oklahoma. Marvin Mims had 54 catches. Then you have four other guys with between 33 and 39 catches there at Oklahoma in year one. In year two with Oklahoma, you have Stoops with 84, and now you have a little bit more of a gap. Next guy has 45. There's another guy with 38. Another guy with 27. And then it's just, you know, the rest of the guys. So you're correct in that it feels like in this offense, there's one guy they kind of focus on a little bit more than everybody else. But he has shown the ability in 2022. They were able to spread the wealth just a little bit more. But for the most part, yeah, it's almost like a running back that, you know, when you have a stud back and you're kind of cycling everything through him, that's kind of what this offense does with the receiver position. From the running back position, it's a little different. You know, the first 2 years at Ole Miss, they were really by committee. You had, four guys that year with 56 or more carries: Parrish, Connor, Corral, and Ealy. The next year, playing a full, you know, 12, 13 games, you have four guys over 100 carries. Those same four guys: Corral, Ealy, Connor, and Parrish. At Oklahoma, you had two guys over 100 carries in year one. And one of those, Eric Gray, rushed for almost 1,400 yards and 11 touchdowns. Last year at Oklahoma, three guys over 100. Then you have Gabriel. Both years, he's been around 90 carries. This year, they added another piece of that, Marcus Major, at 78 carries. So they spread the ball a good bit in the running game. But in the passing game, it really does feel like it's almost like a Randy Moss situation. Like, you got Moss, we're going to feed him the ball, and everybody else just kind of gets the scraps. I don't know who that guy is. That's kind of the exciting part about this, is that I know that statistically I should get that guy by the end of the season, but right now, as we sit here today in June, I have no idea who that guy is.
Yeah, for sure. The biggest takeaway that I've taken away, I guess, from Jeff Lebby is it hasn't been, you know, a hard set. Like, we have to have this quarterback to have success. We have to have these wide receivers. We have to have this amount of time. That's what we always heard about the air raid. It takes 2 or 3 years to get going. Mm-hmm. Everywhere he's been, he's worked with whatever he has and had a productive offense. That's exciting to me. I don't know what this offense looks like long term, but next year, if we're looking at everywhere else he's been, Mississippi State should have a competent offense. They should have an offense that's exciting. They should have an offense that puts up a lot of yards, a lot of points. And the best thing about it is they do a little bit of everything. It's not something that you can just look at and say, well, if we load the box here, we're really going to make things difficult for them. If we run drop eight, it's going to be tough. They can make things difficult on every defense that they play. That's why this is probably my favorite offense out there right now. He was a guy that, you know, I really wanted Mississippi State to go after several years ago as far as offensive coordinator is concerned, to come in and help Mississippi State what they're doing. Because what he was doing offensively was really innovative, was really tough to stop. He's been an offensive coordinator that I've been a big fan of for a long time. I was a big fan of Art Briles principles, what he did offensively. So I think this is this was the way to go for Zach Selman. Is he had nothing to lose. Go out there and get an exciting offense. I think that's what he's going to bring here to the table.
It all goes through Shapen, though. And I mean, you know, he's the key to all this, because if he's not healthy, I don't know if Parson is ready. I know Michael Van Buren's not ready just yet. You really need Shapen. And the thing about Shapen is there's more on – you've got a lot more film on him than you had at the start of Gabriel's career, than you had on Corral when he got started at Ole Miss. He's a lot more proven commodity. Yeah, and I think, you know, the injury history is the only negative towards him. Like, you look at the rest of the time he's played, his numbers have been really, really good, but it's just about keeping him healthy and keeping him upright. I think State this year is I think they're going to be more run heavy than people are thinking right now. I think this is going to be a team, because they don't have that proven stud at wide receiver. They don't, and with Shapen, you know, they don't have. I mean, I like Shapen, and I think he's going to be good, but I don't know that he is going to be Dylan Gabriel kind of numbers. So I could see State being really run heavy, using Booth, Lee, Pittman, Daniels, and those guys. I could see State being a team. And I mean, and that's not really news, right? Because this offense kind of has this misnomer of being a passing offense. It's not. It's very much a running offense. But I think State will use tempo and try to run the football a lot this year. I'm just telling fans right now, I think this is going to be – if you come to the stadium thinking 40, 50 passes a game, that is not what this offense is supposed to be.
No, if you look back at the spring game too, they did a lot of like the setup for the big passes, a lot of running the football, mm-hmm. and it's not going to be big chunk plays all the time either. You know, it's going to be 2-3 yards every now and then, and you're going to have some possessions too that are fairly quick where you're getting off the field, you're punting too. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's definitely going to be some trial and error, but there's also a lot of potential for big plays in the running game and in the passing game. I think Booth was a big add for them.
Agreed.
I think they could have gotten by with what they had. I don't think that group is a bad group by any means, with Pittman and guys like that. I just think that you needed kind of a more dynamic running back, a guy that, you know, has proven a little bit more. I know it was Utah State, but this is going to really help this running back group have a lot of depth and the ability to run guys in and out. Because in these offenses, when you're running as fast as you can, you have to be in shape, but you also have to have the depth,
yeah,
and the quality depth to be able to bring a guy out and bring another guy in that's going to be just as good. And they're getting there. I think the offense is fairly deep. You know, it's probably not exactly where Lebby wants to be, but it's a group that I think can win this year.
I mean, you look at that Ole Miss team. I mean, Connor was a good player. Parrish, I guess we'll find out a little bit more about him, but he's just been a decent college player. And we both agree that Jerrion Ealy was a huge bust, right?
I don't agree with that.
I just wanted to see if I could slip it by there.
You tried.
But that being said, it's, again, there wasn't a Quinshon Judkins in that group. Yeah, they had to find that guy. So
I think they did a lot of good things with Connor and Ealy.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of shows, though, you don't have to have like this mega NFL talent
right
to be really good in this offense. Ole Miss has not had a ton of high-end SEC guys that have NFL guys that have come out of that offense since Lane Kiffin's been there. The quarterbacks, you know, Matt Corral's playing in the USFL or whatever that is now.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Moore has had some good moments for the Browns, but he's not setting the world on fire. But you can do a lot of good things on the college level with these players, and he's mastered it somehow, some way. Both Lane Kiffin and Jeff Lebby have figured out a way to make these guys highly productive players in this offense. So I'm excited to see what happens, and I really believe that Blake Shapen can do some big things this year for Mississippi State. I loved what I saw in the spring game.
Yeah. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. We're coming up on July 4th. It's not too far away. That means you are definitely going to be grilling. You're going to be grilling all the time. It's the summer. It's grill season. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef. I did some burgers this weekend on the grill. Fantastic. Everybody, I had, my family, well, believe it or not, they will pump me up every now and then. They're like, oh, it's good. And I hope that it is. But when you have somebody come in that's not related and they're like, hey, this is really good, that's always a plus. So one of my daughter's friends was like, these burgers are great. I was like, fantastic. Glad to hear it. Because I was a little nervous. You never know. So hope you guys are enjoying cooking out this summer. And if you are, I hope you're doing it with beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for, and you are looking for. Next time you're in Starkville, you need to make a trip to Two Brothers to enjoy some of Robbie and I's favorite dishes, the smoked wings, the prime rib sandwich, the pulled pork grilled cheese, and, of course, Brian Johnson's favorite, the pork rind nachos. You were muted. You were muted. Do it again.
Dadgummit.
No, you got to do it again.
Oh, yeah.
I saw your lips moving. I was like, he's doing it, but he's muted. Come on now.
Got the jack.
That'd be pretty funny. What kind of cheese comes on those pork rind nachos? It's a cheddar queso. Do you have the jack?
Get a pepper jack. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget to check out the older brother in the old Two Brothers location on Rue des Grands Fromages for fancy sandwiches in a bistro atmosphere. It's a restaurant. Robbie really nailed it the other day when he talked about it. He said it would fit in New Orleans. That's a great assessment of what the older brother is. So go check it out if you have not already. Enjoy a great meal in the heart of the Cotton District at Two Brothers Smoked Meats or at the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business promises it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. And they do it because they take care of their customers. They take care of them after the sale. It's not just about selling you a great piece of equipment. It's about after the sale, if something goes wrong, being there for you and being able to solve your problems quickly. You're a business. You can't afford to wait a week, 10 days for something to be fixed. You need it fixed that day. A lot of times with Advantage Business Systems, that's exactly what you're going to get. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. Before you head to the game this fall, you need to head to Maroon & Co. If you haven't already checked out their incredible selection of Mississippi State gear, it's stuff you cannot find anywhere else. It's a great, great selection of polos, shirts, hats, pullovers. If you're looking for Bulldog Initiative gear, you can only get it at Maroon & Co. And look, it's a lot more than that. Footwear, if you're looking to get some new shoes, they've got a lot of great stuff from Adidas, from Hoka, from Z Cloud. I mean, just some great stuff there. If you're also looking for sunglasses, they have them, Ray-Ban and Costa Del Mar. They've got it all. It's all right there for you at Maroon & Co. Check them out. Before you go to the game this fall, go to Maroon & Co.
All right, I feel like you butchered some of those names.
Which one?
Isn't it Costa?
Is it Costa? All right.
And you said Z Cloud. Isn't it on cloud, or am I wrong on that?
It says Z Cloud on this thing here.
The shoes?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it is.
That's what it says. I don't know. They've got some Adidas on sale too right now. Like the Speed Trainer, regular $85, $59.50. That's a pretty good deal.
Ooh.
Now I may have gotten
check that out.
I may have gotten the sunglasses wrong. I mean, as a guy who wears glasses, I don't wear sunglasses, so I don't know a whole lot about them. I know Ray-Ban.
Yes, sir. Ray-Ban is my favorite pair of glasses. Although I keep breaking like my Ray-Ban. Either I break my Ray-Bans,
mm-hmm.
or I lose them,
mm-hmm.
or somebody takes them or something. So I've completely done away with buying sunglasses. Like, buying sunglasses above like $15.
Gotcha.
My sunglasses are now like $5, $10. I go to the Dollar Tree or Walmart. I get something that looks very similar to something that I would wear, and hardly anyone knows the difference.
Well, there you go. All right.
But I no longer wear the Chick-fil-A sunglasses that the bus driver made fun of in Omaha in 2019.
Our next SEC preview is the Kentucky Wildcats.
How'd you get quiet?
I got nothing to say. 6-6 last year. I thought Devin Leary last year was the most disappointing player in the conference. That's a guy I had some high, I don't know if high hopes, was, I didn't think he was going to come in and be, you know, all SEC, but I was like, this is a guy who had succeeded at NC State and had been really good, and I thought he would do the same at Kentucky, and they just weren't very good last year. I think they're better this year. Their schedule is not unmanageable. So let's take a look at it. They start the year with Southern Miss in Lexington. Now, the last time the Golden Eagles went to Lexington, they got out of there with a win. I remember that game very vividly. I think they were down like 17 points at one point and came back on Kentucky. That was then, and this is now. I feel like this is going to be a pretty easy win for the Wildcats.
Yeah, I think the SEC and Sun Belt, AAC and all that are kind of separating.
It really is starting to happen, yeah.
Pretty badly now. So I don't think this is going to be super competitive. And, you know, Kentucky just is really impressive at home.
Yeah.
So
Kroger's Field, very tough place to play.
Kroger's Field.
Isn't that what it's called? Who has a tougher?
That's what my grandmother calls it.
Yeah. Who has a tougher opening 3 weeks than Kentucky? They play two conference games in the first 3 weeks, but they're both at home. They get South Carolina in week two. Kentucky's kind of had an advantage in that series the past couple of years. I'll take them to win there, but then they follow that up with Georgia. So do we say 2-1?
Yeah, because, okay. Again, at home against South Carolina, I think they're winning that. I'm just not sold on South Carolina.
But Georgia, they'll drop that one. Then they have Ohio, yep. Not Ohio State, the Bobcats. So they can get to – they're 3-1. They're feeling all right.
This is the first time in a while I feel like they've had at least like two games that are tough in their first four or five. Yeah,
Kentucky is pretty notorious for starting off with like MAC, FCS, and
– Cupcake City.
Yeah, and then they play, you know, they usually get like Vanderbilt early or something. But we got one. Then they got to travel to Ole Miss. Now, the last time they were at Ole Miss, they had the game won, and a penalty took it away from them. They could have stopped.
And then a fumble.
Yes. I mean, this is going to be Ole Miss's. I think this is their first big home game of the year. They have three non-conference games before that, and they're on the road at Wake Forest. Ole Miss gets all of its non-conference out of the way in the first 4 weeks. So this should be a big crowd. I think it's already set for a noon kickoff, I believe, in Oxford, or I should say 11 a.m. kickoff. I'm sure that will probably do something with the crowd. But the last, again, that game 2 years ago was a huge crowd in Oxford for that one. I remember that was the game where Kiffin was like very vocal about get to the game. And so I think it'll be the same this year. I think that the Rebels will take that one. I'm going to give them that. So Kentucky 3-2 is where I've got them.
Yeah, I could see that game being kind of tricky for Ole Miss, but I just don't see Kentucky coming out on top.
Agreed. Get the off week, and then they host Vanderbilt, so they should be 4-2, moving right along. Not a bad season. Then they're at Florida. That's sort of the swing game of the season for them. These next two games are their swing games. If they can win both of them, they can have a really good year. If they lose both of them, it's going to be tough. At Florida, we've already talked about the Gators. I don't like them. I'm going to take Kentucky to win that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same. I just don't – I have no faith in Florida under Billy Napier. I don't think that he's going to get out of there alive. Mm-hmm. Figuratively speaking, I don't think anybody's going to kill him.
Yeah, you don't. I mean,
I don't want to advocate. We've already apparently advocated for drugs, and you advocated, I want to specify something about underage or porn or something. So I want to get that out there. I was not involved in that. So yeah,
I'm not
I just
underage.
Don't.
It was not underage. I just said that if. We were talking about
it was like amateur or something.
No, yeah, we were talking about how the Virginia fan, somebody had taken a picture of a woman, and you could see like a little side action there. And I made the comment about how, why are we so excited about this? You can just see whatever you want on the internet. It had nothing to do with underage. Come on, man.
Oh, sorry.
The wrong guy on the beat for that. You all right? You okay? I think Robbie's dying. He may legitimately be dying.
Oh. All right. Auburn.
Auburn is next. I got him winning this one, too. This one's at home. I don't like the Wildcats there. I mean, I'm sorry. I do like the Wildcats. I don't like the Tigers. What do you think? You all right? Robbie is trying to – he's really thinking about this pick. I mean, he clearly is waffling back and forth between Kentucky and Auburn here. I really think the Wildcats can take this.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Kentucky.
Okay.
At home.
So at that point, we've got Kentucky now at 6-2. Pretty good. Then they go to Tennessee. That's probably a loss.
Yeah.
All right. They got a week off, and they host Murray State. Should be a win, so 7-3.
Their home schedule is always terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they do get Georgia this year.
I mean, they got Georgia, but
when you think about the playoff teams this year, I mean, they play four of them, and the potential playoff teams, I guess I should say, and three of them are on the road for Kentucky, at Ole Miss, at Tennessee, and then, as I said here, at Texas. They'll lose that one. Then they finish the year with their in-state rivals, Louisville. I don't like Louisville at all. So I'll take Kentucky to win that and be 8-4.
That's like that feels like that's where they're at every year. 7-8 wins.
Yeah.
The last year competing for the Outback Bowl
was disappointing. This year, 8-4, kind of right where you want to be. I mean, with a brand new quarterback, Vandergriff has never been a starter for anybody. That would be a good season for Kentucky if they can get to that, I think.
Yeah, Kentucky just
25.
They're just kind of boring to me. Like they're
boring.
Every year they're somewhere to 7-8 wins, and every now and then they'll get a 10 win.
You know
season.
Who they are, right?
They're basically like Mississippi State under Dan Mullen.
This season, if it plays out like we have it here, very similar to Mullen's second season, where State lost to Auburn, who won the national title, and Arkansas, Alabama, LSU, all of whom finished in the top 12. If we do this, we're talking Kentucky would have lost to Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Texas, who we would all expect to be in contention at the very least for the college football playoff.
Yeah.
So,
They'll be on – I mean, there'll be probably some, you know, what-ifs with them. I just – and you know, you got that hovering around, too, with Mark Stoops, like, was going to take the Texas A&M job, and it basically got shot down.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, if they lose a couple of games, like, what the thought process is going to be in Lexington and all that. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just a – he's done things there that's never been done before.
He's just been –
He's done a great job doing – he is Dan Mullen. He is what Dan Mullen did for Mississippi State.
When's the ones
you're – he came in, and then recruited better than anybody else for the most part. You know, won more games, won the games he was supposed to win. It's just like I don't know if Kentucky – it's kind of like Mississippi State. Like I just – they're programs that have that bad stink on them from the past.
Yeah.
And the thought process from those on the outside, I guess what I'm doing is what people do at Mississippi State. I don't know how much more juice he can get out of the squeeze here.
Yeah.
They've only finished inside the top 25.
Twice, I think.
Is that right? Twice?
Yeah, what, Benny Snell last year and then
2022 and 2018.
Yeah, so Benny Snell's last year and the Levis's first year, they were really good. Yeah, so
that's wild. Only twice under him they finished inside the top 25.
I mean, they're consistently 7-8 wins. I mean, if you're Kentucky, you just – this is kind of why Andy Staples says Kentucky's the best job in college football, because you can win 7-8 games a year pretty easily, and their fans are completely content with that.
Yes, they don't care.
You're never going to find Kentucky fans going, why have we not jumped up a level and made the college football playoff? It's just never going to happen. So
no, he is safe there for a while. It might be a little different now that he's, you know, he basically took the A&M job and then it got shot down and he had to settle for coming back. You know, that might rub people the wrong way, but I don't think his job is in jeopardy or anything like that.
On the other side of that coin is LSU, and that's who we'll talk about next week.
Yay.
So we'll hit the Bayou Bengals up next week. All right, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do. Send us your questions. We're happy to answer them. And then looking ahead, we've got an opponent preview to do this weekend. I talked with Gerard Hamilton, or I'm going to talk with him tomorrow from PowerMizzou.com. We'll get to look at the Missouri Tigers. I'm going to try to get another interview as far as a talking football interview goes. We'll see who I can bring in there. And then, of course, don't forget, this Friday we'll be in Boyle, Mississippi at the Catfish Cabin for stop number two on the Summer Catfish Tour presented by Superior Catfish. So tomorrow's Rumblings also presented by Superior Catfish. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.